Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So it's not just about having a heart, it's about having a soul. And the soul of our country is about respecting the dignity and worth of every person. The soul of our country is about giving every person access to rights who is in our country. We cannot have deportation without representation. Can one guy be? I kiss her
and she kissed me. Nancy Pelosi goes well with any food. I'm having a vermicelli roll now from a Thai restaurant. And I got to tell you, instead of dipping it in hot sauce, just listen to Nancy Pelosi. It'll help with your digestion. When the chrome was thick and the women were straight. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Oh, yeah. The Demon Cats, thanks, Dino. Give them a few chips. We'll see them in the casino. The Demon Cats seem to be operating on the plan of unnatural selection. When you listen to Pelosi, who says that we cannot have deportation without representation. Here's a woman who imposed Obamacare on the nation without representation. We could have taxation without representation, but we can't have deportation of non-citizens without representation. This is called everything is upside down. But look, if I get angry, you're not going to listen. If I tell you that when Hillary justified Hamas firing rockets from Gaza because it's a small country, they have to put the rocket launchers inside schools, you would say, what? What? How could she say that? If I tell you that the charter of Hamas calls for the destruction of Israel and the killing of all Jews, you'll say, wait a minute, aren't they a cousin organization to the Muslim Brotherhood that Obama and John McCain tried to maintain control of Egypt? Yes. And that's why I say, you know what, living well is the best revenge. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to play a little Dean Martin, and I'm going to eat my vermicelli roll from the Thai restaurant, which just arrived. I got to tell you, it's so good. Did you know Dean was a barber? Dino was a barber? He was one of the great American crooners when men still sang in America. Now it's all chick music. It's all elevated chick music. It's like dressing room music. It's screaming women, screaming girls about lost love or love they can't have or scarifying themselves or cutting themselves with the cutting. I don't understand it anymore. How do we go from male crooners to screaming adolescent women? I don't get that either. There are no crooners left. You think about it, it's only rap music, and I don't consider that music. That's the equivalent of hieroglyphics, but that's giving hieroglyphics a bad name. So here's what I want to talk about, impeachment, and I'll tell you why. Hysterics in the media are all talking about impeachment, like they discovered it. They discovered the wheel, and now they're talking about the wheel. They discovered that some immigrants have diseases, so now there are geniuses who dropped out of high school who are talking about illnesses coming in with immigrants. People who didn't know what Ebola was from Shinola are now experts on epidemiology. But yours truly has been talking about immigrants and epidemics for at least 30 years, long before you knew me on the radio, because I'm educated in the field and I try to warn America even back then. But nevertheless, I want to talk about impeachment today for one reason. I got up this morning and I saw that the venerable Washington Post put out a headline called Impeachment Talk is Back. Here's a timeline of how we got here again. And they begin in 2009. It says the early birds. I want you to take a guess who was the first one to kick off the ball of impeachment. That's right, Michael Savage. 2009, March, radio host Michael Savage suggested the time has come, less than 50 days after Obama took office, for the president to be impeached. And then, of course, the fringe followers followed from there on. All of the fringers who follow Michael Savage and make believe he doesn't exist then picked up the impeachment talk, where now it's reaching a crescendo. And although I have been for it until I'm against it, I'll tell you why I'm slightly against it, even though I was for it then. Because, you see, I'm a man who's willing to admit that some strategies are good at a certain time and not good at others. In other words, we're seeing that the Demon Cats, who have no ideas and are out of steam, are using impeachment to raise money. It may actually be a bad idea. So I'm going to ask you the question, is impeachment a good idea right now or a bad idea? Now, you know he should have been impeached. The man never should have been elected. We know he's an imposter. We don't have to go down the list. We know what he's done. Do I have to give you the litany? No. He's done at least seven things that are impeachable. Seven. Minimum seven things that are impeachable. He's about to do the greatest one, which is grant amnesty to the illegal aliens, which will put him into the category of the worst villain in American presidential history. But it still may be a failing strategy. In other words, if you're fighting a war, you have to choose your battles. And you've got to know whether to fight at El Alamein or at another pass in the desert. This may be the wrong battle at the wrong time. So you have to think about the overall war plan, not just the particular battle. You got to be Napoleonic about it rather than, let us say, catastrophic about it. Not a bad line, Michael. Have another vermicelli spring roll. That was pretty good. It must be feeding my brain immediately. So before we go on, aren't you pleased to learn that I am still the lead sled dog in the idea world of talk radio? Yes, there are shows with slightly larger or larger audiences. But when you are the lead sled dog, the reason the others keep nipping at you and barking at you is because they're always looking at your behind. I mean, they're stuck in the, they're just stuck behind you, looking at you. So naturally, they bark at your behind. So that's why I played Dino today and opened the show with a Thai egg roll, which my housekeeper just brought, thank God, just on time. I've been timing it so it's 10 minutes before the show, but today it arrived just when the show started, so I'm salivating right now. I can't wait for the first break. I can't even think right now. The food's sitting over there on the table. I know it's getting cold, even though it's in the plastic. And I really can't wait for you to call 804 whatever. What's the number here? Yeah, I got it. 855-472-8. I don't remember the phone number anymore, but I do know 855-472-8282. Well, if you get past Robert, the call screener, you'll talk to more people than you've met in your entire life. Can you imagine that? That's pretty amazing. That's why talk radio is actually the last vestige of democracy in the United States of America. We don't say to you, okay, are you Caucasian? Are you African American? Are you Asian? We don't ask you if you're Muslim or Christian or Jewish or Hindu or Buddhist or Zoroastrian. We don't care if you're AC/DC or Foot Power. The issue is your ideas and your ability to express them. Their only rules are, here are the rules of my talk show. Don't ask me how I am or I'll hang up on you. A, you don't know me, and B, no one's interested. B, if you start to attack me, I may or may not let you stay on. It's pointless. It's bad radio. Make your point. Let your intelligence speak for your anger rather than your hate. I mean, try not to act like a jihadi and start hating the minute you get on the show. You may as well just go back to the university chemistry lab and continue on your bomb-making 101 rather than calling the Savage Nation. Impeachment is the question. Washington Post credits Michael Savage for having kicked the first ball down the field back in 2009. And we have a really, really, really fine treat for you today on the show. A very fine treat on the Savage Nation for you. We actually found a replay from 2009 of Savage explaining who he is and why he should be impeached before all of the other sled dogs started, ooh, borders. We got to enforce the borders. Ooh, they're bringing in diseases like Ebola. Ebola, recall. They don't even know Ebola from Shinola. Now they're all experts on epidemiology. Ebola! Ebola's coming over the border. Here comes Ebola. Hey, you guys want to go Ebola-ing this weekend? Where can we go Ebola-ing? Can we go Ebola-ing in Nigeria? I know, we're talking about Ebola. No, I want to go bowling. Nevertheless, it's a laughing matter until it's not a laughing matter. Okay, borders, language, culture, right, sure. We did it. Been there, done that. Impeachment, been there, done that. How many times can you listen to the same thing? How many times can you hear the same story on talk radio? I got to tell you again, I had a sort of, they call it a revelation. Call it a revelation. Oh, God, that egg roll looks good. I'm going to die. Call it a revelation if you want. I am so motivated now. I'm like the horse, the mule with the carrot hanging off its head on a stick. I can't wait to hit the first stop set so I can have another egg roll. Should I eat it during the show? That's bad, isn't it, to eat during a show? Yeah, I shouldn't eat during the show. It's not right. I can't wait for it with a diet soda. I really can't. But so the thing is, I listened to the show coming back from the airport when I came back from L.A., and I'm not knocking anybody. I can't listen to it anymore. If it's just Obama bashing, I turn the radio off. I'd rather listen to rap music. than Obama bashing, because it's boring. Yes, he deserves to be bashed. Yes, he's as terrible as they say, if not more so. Yes, he never should have been president. Yes, he should be impeached, but I can't. That doesn't make it good radio. See, radio is different than what you think is right. You know, a lawyer once said to me last many years ago, a lawyer, I don't say lawyer, I say lawyer, because most lawyers really are lawyers. And the lawyer said to me about 30 years ago, when I was screaming about someone who ripped me off in business, he said, you want to be right or you want to be smart? I said, what? He said, listen to me, you want to be right or you want to be smart? I don't even know what he meant. I wasn't that smart in those days. Now I'm smart to understand there's a difference between being right and being smart. So yeah, you could be right and bash Obama on the radio and keep driving your audience into the ground, or you could be smart and try to entertain them a little bit. At the end of the day, radio is an entertainment medium. You don't know that. This is not a political outlet. I mean, talk radio, when you think about it, think about what I'm saying. Originally, radio was entertainment. It's the Jack Benny Show. It's the Milton Berle Hour. That's how it started. In other words, people entertained you, and they would listen. Then there was the news, war news, whatever. But it wasn't around-the-clock politics. So you have to be a little, you have to have the entertainment gene. You have to have the gene that can entertain and charm people. And if you don't have the gene, then all you're going to do is scream and attack and yell and scream. How do you think Obama gets away with it? Because he's charming. I mean, you know, don't underestimate the man's charm. No matter what, he comes out dancing. No matter what happens in the world, another embassy blew up. 86,000 people fell out of the sky. The earth opened up. He dances out on the White House lawn like he just came off the golf course. Lost 30 more pounds last week. No one knows why, what he's on, what he's not on. Is he on something? Is he off something? What did he stop eating? Did he knock down the fries? Did he stop the fries? What is he doing? Is it the cake and the crack? What he said, must the cakes are so good, there must be crack in the cake. And Michelle jumps in and says, there's no crack in the White House cake. So it means there's some crack in the edifice here. Something's cracking up. I don't know what it is. But nevertheless, the guy lost 30 pounds. They had to take a suit in the back. My grandfather was a tailor. I see these things. They took the suits in the back. One thing you should know is if you were advising Obama, you wouldn't have him leave a press conference walking off the set with a rear shot. It doesn't look good, the ears and the narrow shoulders. He should back out of the press conference. He should back away and walk backwards from the set. He should not walk from the back. The back shot's a killer for him. Listen, if you're in television and they don't like you, you know what the cameraman will do? I don't care if you're Megyn Kelly, whatever you are. They do the wrong shot of Megyn Kelly. She's out of business. I'll be right back. Are we back on the air? I got to tell you, thank God for the long breaks in between the long stop sets. I knocked off an entire Vietnamese lunch in 4 minutes. That's the thing about radio. You can't do it on well, they tape them. If I was in television, I have to wear like a bib between sets. I'm a splatterer. I have such gusto left in my soul. You put a meal around me, it's all over me. The floor, you need an it's like an abattoir when I get through eating. The dogs run, the cats run near me. It's wonderful, it's wonderful. So that's what I'm doing, Dino, mixed in with the impeachment, non-impeachment talk. Why? If the Washington Post is finally listening to me on WMAL, you know something's... You're shaking up the establishment. This is what I love about it, is all of the leftists claim that they're anti-establishment when they are running the country and ruining it. Don't you just love it? They're still acting like they're way out, far out. Yeah, we'll bring down the establishment. Yeah, well, we'll take over. Well, they took over. They've ruined everything. The whole world's on fire. The borders are broken. The nation's bleeding. The economy sucks, except in high-end residential areas. But they're happy with what they're doing. So people are screaming they want to impeach the guy. And I'm saying, okay, well, who started this talk? So I go to the Washington Post, and it's Michael Savage. Usually first on everything. First on borders, language, and culture. First to talk about immigrants and epidemics. First to kill the Dubai ports deal. You name it, I was there first. And it's important you know it, that's all. And it's important you know why you're listening to me. I have to reward you. I have to reward your intelligence. Now, you got the government jesters out there, Maher, Stewart, and Colbert. Terrible ratings, but they're rewarded handsomely because they're doing the jesting that the government needs done. So government jesters support the government positions with stooge audience, with laugh tracks. It's like Laugh-a-thon. It's like Rowan and Martin. We used to have Rowan and Martin. Now we have Maher, Stewart, and Colbert. And it's aimed mainly at the junkies, the younger junkie crowd, the marijuana addicts, the people who are eventually going to be in rehab because they can't make a living. So you have to understand. I have to give you some entertainment to go along with the politics. So I'm showing you that they say in the Washington Post that impeachment talk is back, and here's who started it, Michael Savage. It's up on my website. I haven't yet gotten to play the tape. And I'm very excited today to be on the radio, I got to tell you that. And I'm already out of time again, which is not so bad for one reason. I have another four-minute break to eat the next lunch. I had two brought in. No, I just broke 181 pounds. I'm putting on weight because of all of the pressure that Obama's putting me under. But I don't care. I'm enjoying it. I feel stronger with more weight. I look at the guys in the Middle East. Do they have abs? No, but they can break your neck. Let's say you're a runner. Oh, I have abs. The guy could grab you and break your neck with his hands. And he doesn't wear a tight shirt to show his abs. He wears a burqa. He can still snap your neck.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hey, Shadrul, you don't have to go to school. Just make it with a big bambino. It's like vino. Hey, kid, you were good at looking, but you don't know what's a cooking. You know, some of the lyrics are pretty good. All right, turn it off. They don't follow a word I'm saying. And so here we are. We're talking about serious topics, but we're mixing it in with food, recipes, whatever. I could buy a chicken, for example, for a second. I mean, I'm talking about impeachment. I'm talking about Thai food. You know, it's one of the side benefits, I'm sorry to say it, of the Vietnam War. I know that's kind of a... But think of all the Vietnamese who came in fleeing communism. Look, at least they opened great restaurants, a lot of them. We got a benefit out of it that way. I know you can say, wow, that's a low blow. No, it isn't. Every culture that comes here seems to contribute something except one. One culture brings only hatred and collects welfare. They walk around with such contempt on their faces, you don't understand how they can even survive without dying of, like, an internal tumor of the brain. They walk around with such hate, they never smile. They're waiting for the next world for their reward. Next world for their reward. I say, let them go there now. What are they come here for? If they don't believe this world is any good, what are they coming here for? Let them go to the next world before they go directly to go without passing America. What are they coming here for? The welfare. They also have the next world, they're going to be in paradise. I say go there now. So, as I say, I'm enjoying the meal. I'm eating the Vietnamese food. I switched from Chinese, Japanese, Indian to Vietnamese. I rediscovered a place that's been around, but I didn't go back again. But the vermicelli is very good. It's like low gluten, no gluten rice, right? So I guess maybe that's the reason. The chicken's amazing. The sauces they make and the egg rolls are really good. And what am I supposed to stop eating when I'm on the radio? What do you think? I'm not alive? I'm breathing? Think about this. People that don't eat on the radio, it's not polite. Do I stop breathing when I'm on the radio? So why should I stop eating when I'm on the radio, Neil? Does it make sense? I breathe when I'm on the radio. That's a human thing to do. So I'm eating when I'm on the radio. I sneeze when I'm on the radio. I inhale when I'm on the radio. Some hate it. They can't stand it. They want regular, like, old-style broadcasting.
Welcome to the Savage Nation on your local affiliate. We now go to the time, which is 12:36 and 13 minutes. 12:36 and 16 seconds after the hour. We'll now bring you all the latest traffic, news, and weather right here on the Savage Nation. All right, that has a place in radio. I get it.
But I'm one of these natural talk show hosts. I discovered when I began that I have a natural ability to talk, which I discovered in the crib. It was the way I kept people from putting me down in the crib. I knew right away life was no good. They stared at me in the crib, and I didn't like what they were saying about me right away. I didn't understand English, but I knew it was no good by their faces. So I had to overcome a lot, even from the crib. So I want to read you something. You say, well, why are you eating junk food? I'm not. I want to read you something a listener sent to me. It is so charming. May I read her name on the air? Hi, Michael Savage. I've been listening to you since you started in radio in 1994. I guess I am a Savagette. I am from Jersey, lived in Manhattan, and have been in Marin County since 1972. I got this cute story from a friend from the East Coast, and it will take you back to the good old days. Thanks for keeping us informed. Deborah Kay. I won't read her last name because the haters probably would bother her, the good liberal haters. So let me read this to you. You'll see where I'm coming from. To all the kids who survived the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, first, we survived being born to mothers who smoked and or drank while they were pregnant. They took aspirin, ate blue cheese dressing, tuna from a can that didn't get tested for diabetes. Then after that trauma, we were put to sleep on our tummies in baby cribs covered with bright-colored lead-based paints. We had no childproof lids on medicine bottles, locks on doors or cabinets, and when we rode our bikes, we had baseball caps, not helmets, on our heads. As infants and children, we would ride in cars with no car seats. no booster seats, no seat belts, no airbags, ball tires, and sometimes no brakes. Riding in the back of a pickup truck on a warm day was always a special treat. We drank water from the garden hose and not from a bottle. We shared one soft drink with four friends from one bottle, and no one actually died from this. We ate cupcakes, white bread, real butter, and bacon. We drank Kool-Aid made with real white sugar, and we weren't overweight. Why? Because we were always outside playing. That's why. We would leave home in the morning and play all day as long as we were back when the streetlights came on. No one was able to reach us all day, and we were okay. We would spend hours building our go-karts out of scraps and then ride them down the hill only to find out we forgot the brakes. I swear to God, I made one out of a soapbox, and I went down the hill and almost got killed. After running into the bushes a few times, we learned to solve the problem. Shall I continue? Raise your hand if you want me to continue with this nostalgia, or if you want me to go back to, I say impeach Obama! That is where he needs to go now! Impeach Obama! Close the borders! I swear we must impeach him! If we don't impeach him, we'll have a heart attack! Close the borders! Now! I swear! Would you rather I do A or B? One from column A and one from column B, or just from column A or just from column B? I'll continue with column A. We did not have PlayStations, Nintendos, and Xboxes. There were no video games, nor 150 channels on cable. No video movies or DVDs, no surround sound or CDs. No cell phones, no personal computers, no internet and no chat rooms. We had friends, and we went outside and we found them. We fell out of trees, got cut, broke bones and teeth, and there were no lawsuits from these accidents. We ate worms and mud pies made from dirt, and the worms did not live in us forever. We were given BB guns for our 10th birthdays, made up games with sticks and tennis balls. And though we were told it would happen, we did not put out very many eyes. We rode bikes or walked to a friend's house and knocked on the door or rang the bell or just walked in and talked to them. Little League had tryouts, and not everyone made the team. Those who didn't had to learn to deal with disappointment. Imagine that. The idea of a parent bailing us out if we broke the law was unheard of. They actually sided with the law. These generations have produced some of the best risk-takers, problem-solvers, and inventors ever. The past 50 years have been an explosion of innovation and new ideas. We had freedom, failure, success, and responsibility, and we learned how to deal with it all. If you are one of them, congratulations. You might want to share this with others who have had the luck to grow up as kids before the lawyers and the government regulated so much of our lives for our own good. While you're at it, forward it to your kids so they will know how brave and lucky their parents were. Kind of makes you want to run through the house with scissors, doesn't it? That came to me from Deborah Kay, who's been listening to me since 1994, and is dedicated to all the kids who survived the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. So on that note, I realize that we're all ignoramuses because Obama the other day said the Muslims built the very fabric of our nation. And as I say, I really had no idea that George Washington was a secret Muslim. I didn't know he had a prayer rug. I didn't know that Ben Franklin invented electricity for Allah. I had no idea that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence as inspired by Allah. I had no idea of all this. I mean, thanks to Obama's great education in Indonesia, we've learned that he thanks Muslims for building. I swear he said that. He put it out on Sunday on the occasion of a Muslim religious holiday in this nation. It's okay to do that. He does it for other religions. But to come up with a lie like this, he wants to remind us that Muslim Americans built the very fabric of our nation and strengthened the core of our democracy. Okay. Now, you understand why I'm talking about, I would say, lighter things and silly things. So let's get back to the heavy thing, which is impeachment. Since I kicked the ball off in 2009, and I do have the tape. I have to get to it in the next hour, Neil. I will get to it in the next hour. That should increase the TSL. I get a chance to eat my third lunch over the top of the break. I can't eat again. No, one was enough. I ordered two. I ordered double meals now, and I usually save it for dinner. That way I can be a real recluse and shut in. It's like Michael the Bubble Boy, me and the microphone. I don't go anywhere anymore. I never leave. I just sit in front of the computer. I get up. I say, you better get up in front of the computer. It's getting so bad that I'm dreaming of exercising, but I don't actually exercise. Today at 5 a.m., I remember having like a shadowy kind of dream that I was up and jumping around because the blood stopped moving in my body. The feet and the hands were not moving on the sheets anymore. So I got up and I said, you know what? You really should get out. I got up very early. I went out. I went over to the mall. I saw three people and eight mannequins. I went into one store that opened very early, and I had a very bad salmon sandwich for breakfast. I love it. Wild salmon. What do you mean wild salmon? What's it on, LSD? What do you mean by wild salmon? What, they give us some drug up there in Alaska? I want some of that wild salmon. I really don't want the wild salmon with LSD. You have wild salmon without LSD? Can it be wild without LSD? What do you mean wild? It tasted horrible. It tasted the same. How do you know if it's farm-raised or wild anyway? I hate farm-raised fish. I can't eat it. It does. I mean, I don't like the antibiotics, the coloring. I really don't. If I can get wild food, I'll eat it. But how do you know if it's really wild salmon with the corruption in the food industry? You really know? Try our wild salmon. Okay, I'll try your wild salmon without the LSD, please. Leave the LSD on the side. And put a little crack on the side, too. I'll send it over to the Congress. So that's why I brought up the impeachment talk. Because although I kicked the ball off in 2009, and then it says who followed, the fringe. Then they list the fringe in the Washington Post. June, Reb Ted Yahu, posts six reasons. August, Rep. Michael Burgess, Texasman. 2012, 2013, mainstream conservatives feel it out. And they say on Fox News, Andrew Napolitano did it in 2013. In May of 2013, 4 years after Michael Savage, Glenn Beck, the fraud of fraud, suggests, is it time to appoint a special counsel to explore impeachment of this president? And then they list the others. Louis Gohmert pushes on, Alan Keyes, Andrew McCarthy, Alan West, Barry Loudermilk, Sarah Palin, July 8th. Boehner wasted no time. Disagree. And then we go on. And then Dan Pfeiffer, some loudmouth for the president, says the Republicans had opened the door for impeachment with Boehner's intended lawsuit, and that leads to big fundraising for the libs. So that's why I say we better be cautious. We have to look at the overall war rather than the individual battle. And so I'm asking you, is it the right time to impeach? The answer is, of course, not. Not right now. We take back the Senate. At least we get middle-of-the-road Republicans in. Let's try with that. We have someone to work with. You have to get someone on your side. You know, I love guys who go in the air. Those Republicans are no good. They're the worst. Screw them all. Get rid of them. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, no, no. So what do you want? Obama again? You want Nancy Pelosi again? Do they not understand how to win a war? I mean, are you going to cut out the one team that you have running for you? We know who they are. We know that they're country club Republicans. We know that they're check pants Republicans, a phrase I created in 1994. And you gotta try your best. I know what happened with Bush. I know what happened. Sure, I'd like a good Tea Party candidate when we can get one. But if you can't get him, work with the team you have and try to spin them over to the right side if you can. Okay. If you can't, then you have nothing. You're going to work with the communists and the Democrat side? The sellouts like Pelosi, who say we can't have, what, deportation without representation? Who gave that to her? Play that again, Neil.
No. So it's not just about having a heart. It's about having a soul. And the soul of our country is about respecting the dignity and worth of every person. The soul of our country is about giving every person access to rights who is in our country.
Yes,
we cannot
have
deportation without representation.
Bingo. Okay, we can't have deportation without representation. You know, she goes very well with Thai food, Chinese food, Indian food. She goes well with any food. She helps you digest because laughter is very good for your soul. So here's a woman who says we can't have deportation without representation. And I'd say, Miss Pelosi, how about taxation without representation, which is Obamacare? Can we have that? How about the rights of American citizens to their own borders, language, and culture, Ms. Pelosi? Did that ever enter your mind? I just can't believe this. So we'll continue to talk about this. And I hope you enjoyed that. Kids in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, it brought back a lot of memories, truthfully. I mean, the go-karts, riding with no booster seats, no seat belts, no airbags, riding in the drinking water from a God knows. We really did. I remember that. We ate cupcakes, white bread, real butter, and bacon. All right, that's poison, but okay, we ate it. Yeah, no, I don't eat that. We drank Kool-Aid made with real white sugar. I drank Kool-Aid all through my childhood. I remember in the Catskill Mountains, my mother would make a big pitcher of Kool-Aid. No one died from it. I don't like it. I only eat it today. I don't. Oh, artificial coloring. No, I mean, I wrote books on it. Bugs in the Peanut Butter. Did you know that I won an award in 1973, long before most people in talk radio had even entered high school, before they dropped out? Before they even dropped out of high school, I won a National Science Writers Award for the most outstanding science books for children in 19. I don't remember the year. 70-something. It was called Bugs in the Peanut Butter. Did you know that? It's an interesting book. Little Brown had put it out. And it was about all the additives and preservatives in children's foods. And because I was raising children by then and I was concerned, and I certainly wouldn't give them Kool-Aid, cupcake, white bread, real butter. I was raised on it, but they weren't. They're much healthier than I am. And I did play in the street all day, and my mother didn't know where I was. She didn't care. We had no electronic bracelet on our foot. We came home when the street lights came on, and that was it. They tell you to get in the bathtub, you stink, and that was the end of it. Kids smelled in those days from playing, you know that? Now if a child comes home with any natural body odor, the mother takes him to a dermatologist. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I also want to point out that there's this undercurrent that has also taken shape in the House of Representatives and amongst the conservative entertainment complex related to the allegedly unlawful actions of the president in what many of us view as a march toward impeachment.
So impeachment is in the air. That's right. I mean, peaches are in bloom in my garden, and impeachment is in the air. I picked my my peaches this last week. They didn't come in too good, but then I got the other fruits are coming. Their trees are all on the ground. You realize summer's half over and impeachment is in the air, as it should have been a long time ago. Now, I mean, there's benefits to it. We understand it. The president is a lawless, rogue president. We know that. He is owned by special interests like La Raza, who he is acting on behalf of. He's acting for foreign interests rather than domestic political, let us say, constituencies such as the American people, who are primarily center. They're center-right. The majority of Americans are not liberals. The majority of Americans are center-right. I didn't say super-right-wing. I said center-right. They love borders, language, culture. They love the flag. They love the nation. They love the history of the nation. This president is so out of the ken of reality that he's doing things that only an enemy, alien, could have done to this country after a war, an invasion, and conquest. Gutierrez says, president going to act broadly and generously on amnesty. Now, Gutierrez is some cue ball to begin with. Who took this freak show, Louis Gutierrez, and took this unknown freak show and made him so important? How did this unknown Gutierrez, this freak show, become so powerful in America? Well, you have to ask this. Who does Gutierrez represent? The same interest that Obama and Pelosi represent. The illegal alien. The illegal alien pressure groups who own this country, lock, stock, and Ebola.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
But think about this. They have announced that they're going to sue me for taking executive actions to help people. So, you know, they're mad because I'm doing my job.
All right, you get the picture. The snake is at it again. I'm taking executive actions to help people. I guess Adolf just needed some Lebensraum, that's all, to help the German people. He just took over pieces of Czechoslovakia. He didn't need anyone to vote on it. He was just helping the average German Joe. Just helping people, just helping folks. Meanwhile, this morning on the lowest-rated television channel in American history, MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski, she's the cretin who's the daughter of the SS lookalike, Zbigniew Brzezinski, said, after interviewing the Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ron Dreamer, Mrs. Little Brzezinski said, keep it right here on Morning Jew. I guess she's got Jews on her mind, as her father apparently has all of his life. So here we are. That's what we're living in today. That's what I'm saying. I mean, living well is the best revenge. And I asked you at the beginning of the show, impeach or not impeach? That is the question. Because impeachment talk is back. And I woke up this morning to find out that Finally, the Washington Post acknowledges the leader of the talk radio world is Michael Savage. And they said in 2009, the first person in the media, March 2009, radio host Michael Savage suggested the time has come, less than 50 days after Obama took office, for the president to be impeached. I was the first. Now, there are others who were louder, screaming like they discovered the word, like they discovered the Constitution. They discovered it in their closet. They are the only ones who have a copy of the U.S. Constitution. It's a secret document. And they also have discovered impeachment. But I say not so fast. Maybe it was a good idea a couple of years ago. That's when it should have been done. Now it's not such a good idea. We win the Senate, then impeach. Because then it's too late for them. Because we can expose everything that this demonic administration has done. And they're only getting warmed up. I warned you in the last 3 months of the Bush administration's tenure, I said, wait a minute. I called him a fiscal socialist, and I did. For all of his great points, and he had some great points, Bush, I saw it was coming because I knew he had increased the budget threefold that over the previous three administrations. I said, wait a minute, he's a fiscal socialist. I wasn't fooled by Bush, nor am I fooled by Obama. And as I'm saying to you, I can see what's coming and be very cautious here. They want you to impeach now, blah, 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 to get the base out, right? To get the junkies to come and vote in November. And the drug addicts, to get them off, you know, get them off the couch for a few minutes to come and pull a plunger for another Democrat socialist from you know where. So now the trick is to win in November, get the Senate back, throw Harry Reid out, let him go become a croupier in Las Vegas. You know, he'd be a great greeter. You think of the people he could bring into the Bellagio. If Harry Reid was thrown out of the Senate, he'd be a great greeter. I'm Harry Reid. I used to be a senator. I think he'd be terrific. I mean, he'd be a great guy. Shake his hand, go in before getting shaken down in the casino. Why? What's wrong with that? I mean, he did such great work in the Senate. You probably have greater odds in the Bellagio than you did when he was senator. That's all I can say. Cymbal shot, bang. So I feel very good. I ate two lunches during the last hour. And now we're asking you the question, impeach or not impeach, that is the question. And I explained to you that it's not that I'm the kinder, gentler savage. It's that I have to be the more entertaining savage. Because there's an old adage, you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. It's true in talk radio. If you're going to scream day and night about how bad he is, and he is, believe me, you'll believe me. This devil is not yet had his due. He's bad. He's bad as they come. Worse than they come. Worse. And he's just getting started. But if you keep saying it over and over again, even though it's correct, people will stop listening to you. You hear what I'm saying? It's that simple. So I got to mix it up a little bit. Thai egg rolls, impeachment mixed together. The president, not the president. You know, that kind of stuff. The news is horrible. Meanwhile, the war rages on in the Middle East. And a new poll says twice as many Americans blame Hamas. They're not stupid. A third rocket arsenal was found at a U.N. school. I mean, the U.N., I told you, throw them out of New York. Attention, WABC listeners in New York. If you're a member of the U.N., get out of my country. Yeah, right. That had the effect I wanted. Yeah, all the grifters on the East River. Turn it into a homeless shelter. It'll be better than what it's used for now. U.N. I remember what the League of Nations did to the world. The League of Nations brought us World War II, just as the U.N. is liable to bring us World War III. Officials fear largest Ebola outbreak in history could go global. All right, what do you want me to say? Immigrants and epidemics? I wrote the book on it. Now people who dropped out of high school are experts on virology. They're trying to tell you about it. Good, all right, the more the merrier. Washington Post timeline on calls for impeachment. I covered that. I'm number one. I'm happy that they noticed me. You know, for years, even though I've been on the radio 19 years, they pretended I didn't exist, the Washington Post. Now that I'm on WMAL, apparently one or two of them are listening to the show. They recognize that there are other people in the media than the ones they've been bashing all these years, and some of us are actually quite knowledgeable. We may not match their political orientation. Those who match their political orientation died when the Communist Manifesto died, but other than that, the fact is I know what I'm talking about. I back it up with facts. So should we impeach or not impeach? And we talked about other stuff, too. And in this hour, we have a special treat for you on the Savage Nation. I went, or Neil went, Neil, my producer, Neil. Neil, may I mention your last name, or would you be harassed? Neil, just West. He said West is fine. Neil East is my producer. We actually went and found the Savage on impeachment from 2009. Would you believe this? When would be a good time to play it? Right now or take a call? Yeah, let's go. Roll it now. Listen, just so they know who the lead dog is on this issue. Go ahead and play it.
Obama is a fiction. Obama is a creation of the media. Obama is a creation of the world media. Obama is a multiracial man who, it looks to me, has never had no said to him. This is a child who was given everything on a silver platter. He was a bright guy, could speak well, learn well, memorize well, knew how to navigate his way around the ultra-left wing of Hawaii, got a scholarship to Punahou, got into a Harvard on affirmative action, was selected for one thing after another. No one ever stood up to him and said anything to him. You could see when he gets rejected on anything, the guy looks lost. I mean, I'm an observer of reality. He looked shaken today, and not for the first time, when he went off script. He doesn't understand the world he's in. The guy is over his head. He reaches out to Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, and the guy the next day, Ahmadinejad, says it shows America's weak. He closes Gitmo to ask him where he's putting the prisoners he doesn't know. He appoints one tax dodger after another, doesn't understand the American people are not going to accept it, and they don't accept it. Even the New York Times turns on him. And this is within 2 weeks. I told you yesterday that he is going to be seen as the president with the shortest honeymoon of any president in modern history. And if you were to poll the American people today, he doesn't have these sky-high approval ratings that the vermin in the media telling you he has. Oh, yeah, sky-high approval ratings from when? From before they saw the man in action? He doesn't have sky-high approval ratings. The guy is being seen for what he is. That's my opinion. Florida, Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation. What do you think? Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. My name is Jerry, and I did vote for Obama. As a matter of fact, I gave $100 to his campaign thinking that, this man was going to make a difference. I would have given this man several thousand dollars to help reduce our government debt, but yet all he wants to do is go out there and spend $1 trillion and get us deeper in debt. I'm truly disappointed with my decision. Just as easily as we voted him into office, I think we can vote him out of office, and they better beware.
Well, you're not saying that if he keeps this up, there's going to be an impeachment call within a year, because it could happen, you know.
You know, I've already thought about putting out for bumper stickers that say impeach Obama.
What's interesting is that 47 million Americans said no to Obama. I would estimate 10 million people went over to the other side out of just pure unmitigated disgust for the Republican Party, not because they wanted to embrace Obama. And I would say that there may be a majority in America who would want this man impeached, but not yet. Once they come to understand how radical he is, how off the charts of even the Democrat plan he is, once they see through who this man is, there could be calls for impeachment within a year. It could happen. I'm not saying it could happen today, but it could happen. And I'm saying to you that Obama better get in the center of the Democrat Party and stop running it from the far left, because the American people have had enough of this extremism, and we've had it in 2 weeks. 5 executive orders in less than a week. You know that?
And he's not hiding a thing. He is just totally open and outright with it.
Well, there you go. We'll have to wait and see the...
Okay, that was from 2009. Once again, Michael Savage is the lead sled dog here, and I talked about it in 2009. I don't mind that others are following in my sled tracks. That's okay. But here we are. He's about to do something now that is so clearly anti-American, unconstitutional. You've got to study what the executive order is. He's violating the whole meaning of the word executive order. You're not allowed to make law with an executive order. He's making law. Him and his consigliere make it up as they go along. It's like a gang took over the country. He's making up law. It's impeachable. Every one of his executive actions, if they go beyond what they're allowed to do and actually create law, he is violating the law, and he can be impeached for it. You know, high crimes and misdemeanors. What do you mean by a high crime? If you break the law, isn't that a high crime? It's bigger than a stain on a purple dress. I would say it's bigger than, an affair with Monica Lewinsky breaking the border open to millions of illegal aliens. Would you say that that's bigger than a stain on a dress? I mean, what are you waiting to happen? What does he have to do till you wake up to what's going on? We've had a revolution in the country. The country has had a revolution right in front of your eyes. But the average American is so naive, they don't even see it. They can't understand it. They're so gullible, they don't even understand. It's like Gulliver's Travels. They don't see a revolutionary in front of their eyes. They see a slick con man, and they buy his goods. It's like a Bible salesman. If he went around the Midwest, he could have made a fortune in the old days selling Bibles. Can you imagine? Who could say no to this guy? You would have to take the Bible. He's so charming. I had to buy the Bible from the guy. Because it's a guarantee that you go to heaven if you buy the Bible from Obama. So he's still selling the Bible to these true believers. There's nothing he could do that would be wrong for them. That's what I'm trying to say to you. As poisonous as his manipulations are, and, you know, what do you have to do? I have to list them for you? You know what came out today? You remember Lois Lerner? We're not talking about the Superman comic. We're talking about Lois Lerner, that monster, that loudmouth monster who ran the IRS and used it as a personal vendetta against political opponents, meaning conservatives. It came out today in emails that were discovered that this witch, this harridan at the IRS, Lois Lerner, called conservative crazies and I can't even say the word. It's AHs. As Eric Holder comes under new pressure to investigate. Look who they're asking. They're going to go to Frank Nitti to investigate Al Capone. Mr. Nitti, you went to law school. Will you please investigate Al Capone? Yeah, right. Lerner slammed right-of-center Americans in an email to a colleague in 2012, 7 months before the Tea Party targeting scandal broke. Then she wrote, maybe we are through if there are that many AHs, she wrote, responding to a comment about conservative talk radio programs. Here's what Lois Lerner, we don't need to worry about illegal alien terrorists, she snarked. It's our own crazies that will take us down. Lerner presided over years of alleged partisan discrimination against conservative groups that applied for nonprofit tax benefits. This is not only impeachable, it's go to jail. Lois Lerner, please step before the judge. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Savage Court is now in session. Please state your name. I'm Lois Lerner. And what did you do, Miss Lerner? I was a former IRS official. Miss Lerner, while you were in there, is it true that you targeted conservatives by calling them vile names? Well, yes, I did, because they are that. All right, guilty. Here's the punishment. The punishment is your assets, all the assets of your mother, your father, your daughter, and your sons will be seized immediately, and you'll be deported to Guantanamo. Next, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Barack Hussein Odrama, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'd like to see Odrama on Instagram when he's home alone. I really would. I wonder what that would be like. Welcome back to the program. Where do we go from here? You know, I've gone an hour and a half without a call. I think this is almost a world record. I like callers. I have the smartest callers in America. The real America's out here. The ones that can't get published, for example, in letters to the editor of the Washington Post, call the Savage Nation. Yes, some of them actually read and write. You wouldn't believe it. I know they all have knuckles to drag on the ground, but they actually read, write. Some of them have MDs, PhDs, legal degrees. Some are judges, some are juries, some are hangmen. Yeah, they don't watch the government jesters. They never watch Maher, Stewart, Colbert. They know the government jesters with laugh tracks, like Rowan and Martin laughing. Anything bashes conservatives. The guy with the 400-foot yacht buys them, puts them on the air. Stooges that couldn't make a living if they didn't have a payout. No one listens to them. Maher, Stewart, Colbert. Very smart with laugh tracks. All pre-taped. Let them go live and see how good they sound. You know, as good as my humor may be sometime and as bad as it is sometimes, it's all created on the spot. I don't write it. Can you imagine doing 3 hours a day creating it as you go? Go try it. It's the great Santini. I walk on the tightrope every day, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It keeps me alive. I mean, I look 20 years younger than I am because I'm under stress all the time. Stress is the greatest thing on earth. It's the greatest diet in the world, the Savage Diet, which is... Stress, constant stress, 24/7 stress. It works like a charm. Anger, stress, never relaxing for a second, lots of movies at night, copious amounts of alcohol in the evening, a dog that you love, estrangement from family and friends. You know, family and friends are overrated, by the way. You don't really need them to keep... I did in my case. I had some tough times in my life without family. I would have been gone a long time ago. Friends I don't need because there aren't any. There are acquaintances. I would think, truthfully, if you're a Christian in a church, let's say, and you have a close-knit community, you'd have friends in that regard. But you know, those of us who are not really religious, we don't have friends. We have people we know. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but there's no unity. It's not like you grew up in a neighborhood with... In my mother's day, when they all moved to Florida from New York, they all moved together to the same community. And by the way, I read that the same thing occurred amongst Jamaicans. That's right, Africans who lived in Jamaica, who moved to New York, lived in Queens, who lived in the same community. When they retired, they all moved en masse to a community in Florida. Would you believe? To me, that's paradise, to have a community like that. I don't have it. And look how well I'm doing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Talk about impeachment coming from the president's own staff. And coming from Democrats on Capitol Hill. Why? Because they're trying to rally their people to give money and to show up in this year's election.
Yeah, we have no plans to impeach the president. We have no future plans. And he's correct for this time, but he's not correct for after November, should the Republicans be given the victory that they're asking for. Because here's the benefit of impeaching him after the election. All of his scams and crimes against America would be exposed during impeachment hearings. It doesn't matter that his base, you know, wouldn't like it. It doesn't matter that they'll give the Democrats money. What will matter is that people will finally get to see what he's actually done to this country. And he's done a lot of damage. And he's got two big years left, very big years left. And look what Bush did in the last 3 months to this country. Remember he crashed the economy? You forgot that. I warned you it was coming, remember?
I did. Hold on.
I remember in the last 3 months of Bush's reign, I said, wait a minute. He's a fiscal socialist. He's not finished yet. As bad as he's been, he's done some great things, done some good things. But as bad as he's been financially, he's a fiscal socialist. He's only warming up. Watch the damage he does between September through December. And that's when he broke the economy, and that's when he gave us, that's when the establishment gave us Obama. He was the anti-Bush, don't you remember? So I say the same thing to you because I can see things you can't see. That's why I'm paid to be on talk radio. You know, I don't care what my detractors say. I wouldn't have survived all of these years as a best-selling author and as a number one rated talk show host on the best stations in the country if people didn't listen to me because, yes, there's a humor factor when I'm in the right mood. And yes, because I have an entertainment and I have a great voice, the best voice in radio. It is. It's the best voice in radio. I was given that as a gift. You know that. I could read the phone book and you'd listen to me. I would do it with my savage inflection. It's a great voice. It's a command voice. But my politics are also important. Make no mistake about it, because I usually say things and then back it up with the reasons I say them. So I'm telling you that what's coming after the election is totally worrisome. And I don't want to pump the book, but I'm going to have to tell you again. It's going to be out very soon. Stop the Coming Civil War. I don't even know if it's up yet. It may be up on BarnesandNoble.com, but I'm not going to push this book until after Labor Day. I don't want to pre-sell it too heavy, but I would suggest that you try to get a copy as soon as possible, because by what I'm hearing, I don't know how to put this without alienating even more people. I don't think the print run is going to equal the people who want it. Let's put it to you that way. They're trying to bury it already in advance. So you can go to BarnesandNoble.com and see if it's up there. Stop the Coming Civil War by yours truly, Michael Savage. Notice I said stop. I didn't say start. WMAL in the heart of the monster. Greg, welcome to the one and only Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Greg?
I just want to say how much I thoroughly enjoyed your nostalgic trip down memory lane to all those dangerous things we did as kids and somehow survived.
Yes.
And I got a couple more to suggest.
First, go ahead.
First of all, we rode to baseball, little league games and practices in the back of pickup trucks, not in minivans. And second of all, we used to love delighting around dancing in the white fog of those tanker trucks that sprayed for mosquitoes in our neighborhoods.
Oh, those trucks. You know, it's funny you bring that up. One other nostalgic thing I remember from my childhood is that we had water trucks that came down the streets of the Bronx that would wash the streets off with water, though, not with the toxic sprays. And when they sprayed the streets, the kids ran underneath the, you know, the spray of the truck. It was like a rolling bath for us.
Better than
yeah, those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. Yes, indeed. We drank water from the garden hose and not from a bottle. We ate cupcakes, white bread, real butter and bacon. We drank Kool-Aid made with real white sugar, and we weren't overweight. Why? Because we were always outside playing. That's why. That's the way it was. Imagine no childproof lids on medicine bottles, no locks on doors or cabinets, no helmets for our bicycles. None of us broke their heads open. I remember I fell off bicycles. I scraped my hands. Once in a while, I'd scrape my chin. The latest study, by the way, shows that bicycle helmets do nothing, incidentally. Can you imagine? The latest study says that bicycle helmets don't do anything. I always felt that they were cumbersome. I mean, if I were a kid, I would have liked to have a bicycle helmet in my mother's kitchen when I came in late. Yes, that would have been useful to avoid the wax on the back of the head. Okay, then you could use a bicycle helmet for something. But for falling off a bicycle helmet could break your neck, actually. See, if you don't have a helmet, you actually automatically put your hand out. You break an elbow instead, or you scrape your hand. Wear gloves when you ride a bike. Thick gloves, asbestos gloves. No, thick gloves are good on a bicycle. And glasses are important because flies get in your eyes. That's a good idea. We took aspirin, ate blue cheese dressing, tuna from a can, and didn't get tested for diabetes. We survived being born to mothers who smoked and or drank while they were pregnant. Well, that's not a good idea. Come on. I mean, you know, fetal alcohol syndrome is real. You know, that's not a joke. You know, the wide eyes and the thick. You ever look up fetal alcohol syndrome? It does exist if your mother was a lush. There's no question about it. I mean, what do you want, your mothers to be luscious now? No, it's better that they're on antidepressants and marijuana now. They think that they're healthy. See, the brainwashed poor little kids. No, they don't have a chance. That's all. Well, congratulations, Savage Nation. We're talking about impeach or not impeach. That is the question. To impeach or not impeach. That is the question. What would you like to do? Take a call on that one. KKOB, welcome to the Savage Nation, Matt. You're on the air with millions of like-minded people.
Thank you, Savage. I had a question. I agree with you on the to wait on the impeach, but the question was regarding the copious amount of alcohol that you very occasionally might ingest. You had mentioned peanuts for manganese or magnesium, but could you enlighten me on to how to minimize the hangover or the payback from the next day?
Oh, well, yeah, here comes the question of the day. You want the savage cure for a hangover, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a big one. And it's variable according to the individual. I find that different alcoholic beverages have completely different effects upon me. And let's stop with the hangover for a minute. Let's push that aside. In other words, the high from beer is different than the high from wine, which is different than the high from whiskey or vodka. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
In other words, they say, oh, it's all alcohol, it's all the same. It isn't all the same. The congeners in wine, the congeners in alcoholic beverages all vary, and they ameliorate or alter the effects of alcohol upon your brain. And so I personally used to be a huge wine drinker. In the 70s and 80s, I lived on white wine, and I was a Sauvignon Blanc fanatic. I would drink a half a bottle at night, and I was pretty clear on that. I would stop at a half a bottle or I'd get sick. So the first rule I would say in alcohol is knowing how much you can drink without getting sick. And that is, you know, you have to make your own judgment on that. You know, like what's your limit before you feel that you're going to get a hangover? How much?
Probably after a bottle.
A whole bottle of wine? Well, you must be a big guy with a big liver.
Easy.
How much do you weigh?
150.
Well, you're a light guy. So what are you, like a wiry kind of guy? Very muscular?
Yes, sir.
And how old are you?
I'm pushing 50.
And you can still do a bottle of wine without a hangover?
Yeah, I'd say so.
You're a tough guy. You have a good constitution. But you're saying, what if you go over your limit and you get a hangover, right? What do you do, like, the next day or whatever? Well, the most logical thing to do is drink a lot of water, and you probably do that, don't you, before going to sleep?
I try to. It doesn't always happen.
No, of course, because you're so drunk you fall asleep. You're comatose. But if you can remember to drink some water while you're drinking, that's also pretty good. I know you don't want to do it, but that's a good idea. The other thing is, and this does work, is powdered vitamin C does work. It's miraculous in ameliorating the effects of a hangover before you get one. And that's very important. And, you know, then the foods that you eat with it. Nuts are in bars primarily to have you ingest the sodium and make you drink more. But the origin of nuts with alcohol was a very good idea because nuts are naturally rich in magnesium, which counters the effects of a hangover. One of the hangover symptoms is very great sensitivity to sound. Isn't that true? Like, oh, don't make that noise. I don't want to hear the noise. Because the sound is very, very powerful and seems to be magnified when you've had a hangover. Correct, Matt?
Perhaps, maybe even ringing in the ears.
The best way to not eliminate but to minimize the effect of the feeling of sound after a hangover is magnesium. Pretty high doses of magnesium. This comes from my years of being a nutritional expert. I was one of the pioneers in that with a real PhD from a great university. And so I do know a lot about that. I wrote books on this many years ago that shouldn't be lost to the vapors of the airwaves. You know, and you know, one of the things that you don't know about me is that I spent many years researching herbal medicine, which I'm extremely proud of. People try to denigrate it like it's a joke. But a large percentage of our medications today, to this day, still derive from plants, natural products. That was once an obsession of mine. I was as obsessed with herbal medicine as I am today with politics. Years I spent in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, and my plant collections are famous worldwide. They're in 7 herbaria around the world. They are famous. In fact, I wish I could get my hands on one of my own collections. The best example is in Kew Gardens in England, which I'm prohibited from seeing. If I were a Muslim terrorist, I'd be invited to the Queen's residence to be given a Knight's Medal for being a great contributor to England. But because I'm an American conservative, I'm banned from entering England. I'd like to see my plant collection at Kew Gardens in England. I have one of the collections of all the plants I collected pressed. You know how you do it, herbarium specimens. Can I bore you with this? You'd go in the village. You'd find out which plants are used for what. You'd get the local name in the local dialect, like, let's say, Kumbo. And then you'd find out what it is what its genus and species is. You would press the plant in the field. You'd bring it back and dry it. Then you'd bring it back to the herbarium, and you'd identify the plant. And then you'd find some of the raw material. You'd send it back to a laboratory to see what's in it. If they said it was curing, let's say, ulcers, the lab would try to find out what active principles were in the plant to cure ulcers, for example, or something else. And that was a very interesting field of mine. For many, many years, I was an early ethnobotanist. So my plant collections are in, believe it, Honolulu, one of Obama's hometowns, in the Bishop Museum. I have a collection there. I remember the Kew Gardens in England. I believe that there's a collection in a Moscow herbarium. They were sent to 7 different herbaria around the world, and I don't remember where. In those days, you needed at least 7 sets of the plants because they went to 7 of the herbaria in the world. And what bothers me about it is I don't have a collection of my own. I have an old herbarium somewhere in a storage case that's probably moth-eaten by now. I didn't put enough mothballs in it. But the university that's accepted my library, my journals, and my archives, and my manuscripts, and my pictures, and my nun awards, and my Bible with all of the post-its in it. That's interesting what's going to go into that museum. My microphone, you'll be able to go into that university long after I'm gone into the next world where I'm going to have 32 virgins. Now, it only applies to, can I get one of those tickets to that heaven? I mean, I want to know about that. But I don't want 32 virgins when you think about it. That's child abuse. What kind of religion is built upon that? That's sickening. Has anyone dared say that? How could you have a religion built upon 32 virgins? Isn't that disgusting? How about 32 cougars? I mean, what's with the 32 virgins? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're just having fun here. And Neil corrected me during the break, by the way, about the virgins. He says it's 72 virgins that await individuals who believe in that in heaven. I said, you know what, Neil? You can have them. I'll take 32 cougars. They'll keep me busy enough. I was watching a show last night on Brazil, wild Brazil, and the jaguar appeared. They said that the jaguar has the strongest bite in the animal kingdom, 4 times stronger than a lion. I really didn't know that. I mean, that's amazing. It ate a crocodile. I love the jaguar. It's a beautiful animal, isn't it? Wow. I hope we don't wipe them out while we're alive. What a disgusting generation this is. Everything they kill, elephants, gorillas, monkeys, everything's being slaughtered. I just can't take it. It gets me sick sometimes. Anyway, so we're moving on here, and we're talking about various and sundry, including nostalgia and how we survived it. People are calling in with their idea. I remember drag racing, for example, as a teenager in Queens. We drag raced on the Cross Island Parkway. I can still to this day remember it. Are you from New York? You know where the Cross Island Parkway is? I remember laying down rubber along that highway, and I can remember the cars I did it in. One car I had in particular, and I'm doing a car thing now in the middle of all of this. Well, I promise you I'll give you America in 15 minutes. Drag racing was very much a part of my teen years. I had a Chrysler 300. No. Chrysler New Yorker with the big Hemi engine. It was a sedan because it was cheap. It was used. I couldn't buy a new car. But it had the monster Hemi engine in it. That was quite a big car. I remember I broke a spring on it once. That was one issue. And after I broke the spring, I couldn't afford to fix it up. I sold the thing for very little money, like 25 cents on the dollar. Like a hitter came over and bought it, like a Hell's Angel type. He wanted the engine. What are you going to do? I sold it for what I can get. I had another car break down on me. I remember an XK150 Jaguar. I thought I was an Englishman at the time. I was an Anglophile for many years. You know, I would smoke the English ovals, dressed a certain way. I wanted to be accepted as a white man. I mean, no matter how I tried, I couldn't make it, so I've given up. I gave up a long time ago. I used to pass for white, believe it or not. But anyway, so in those days, I drove a Jaguar XK150 drophead coupe, maroon. You know, I was a young, struggling, whatever, worker. And I saved my money. I bought a used car from this crook on Queens Boulevard. Oh, this guy sold me two or three bad cars, including a Land Rover that broke down in Connecticut. Everything he sold me broke down. Crook. He looked like a gentleman, though. Little guy, like Viennese, Mr. W. And you trusted him. He was like a Democrat, an automatic Democrat. You know, he always voted Democrat his whole life. So he sold me the Jag. And I remember once we raced in that car through Central Park in the snow. Sliding through Central Park in the snow in a Jaguar. You want to talk about a poetic experience? It was beautiful. Can you imagine snow falling on your face in an open Jaguar? Racing through Central Park? Or I drove my friend's Jaguar when it got broken, hit from behind 2 o'clock in the morning. I hope he's not listening. SD. Ask him. He came and cried. He couldn't believe it. He said, you killed her. You killed her. I didn't mean to. I stopped at a light. I swear to God, an Iraqi hit me from behind in the 60s. I didn't even know where Iraq was.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The schedule for today is whether or not they decide to sue me for doing my job. So I'm just hating all the time. Come on. Let's get some work done together.
We need Lebensraum. See, Guatemala and El Salvador need Lebensraum. They need living space. And they finally have their man in the White House. And he's giving them the Lebensraum that the Guatemalans need. Isn't it wonderful to realize how humanitarian he is? That he is giving the Guatemalans and El Salvadorans the Lebensraum that they need in order to expand the living space. And, of course, they're being cheered on by the vermin in the media who don't want them in their backyard. No. Savage first to call for impeachment 2009. In that famous speech of mine, I said Obama is a creation of the media. Remember that? It's on my website. If you want to listen to it, go ahead. Make my day. ISIS making millions selling stolen oil. And Obama has not launched one rocket yet against ISIS, who is committing genocide against Christians, destroying churches that are up to 1,800 years old. These are the most dangerous, vile, creatures that the world has ever seen. They're outdoing the Nazis right now. You say, well, they don't have death camps. The answer is they don't have death camps yet. If they could, they would put you into a death camp. They would incinerate you. They are Hitler in a headscarf. Shall I spell it out for you? Hitler marched to Mein Kampf. They marched to their equivalent. Hitler marched to the Horst Wessel song. They marched to another Wessel song. They'd like to cut your vessels open. And we have a military that could wipe them off the planet. All they got to do is carpet bomb the Sunni Triangle. That'd be the end of ISIS. You have to ask yourself why Obama spends more time attacking his political enemies than launching cruise missiles against ISIS. You have to ask yourself which side he's on. As far as Hillary saying Hamas is, it was Pelosi saying Hamas is a humanitarian organization. She heard it from her friends in Gutter. The Hamas charter calls for killing all Jews. If you actually read the Hamas charter, it doesn't say the death to all Zionists. It says killing all Jews from the planet. These are the people on whose side you are on? Can you wake up before it's too late? Yeah, well, okay, I said I was going to have a light day. And it's very hard to do. But I've been trying. I've been doing a very good job. I've done a lot of other things on the Savage Nation while working hard to sting like a bee. I mean, I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee. Right now, I am out in hour number three of the Savage Nation. It's time to take some calls on the program. So let's go back to the callers, WJR in Detroit. Eric, thanks for holding so long. What's on your mind?
Hello? Hear me?
Yes. Eric, what's on your mind? Quickly, please.
Okay. Impeachment won't work. Suing the guy won't work. I believe that the guy is questionable. There is one other route, bringing in the third branch of government, which would mean that the Speaker of the House would have to go to the Supreme Court, asking them to issue a writ of mandamus instructing Eric Holder to bring charges against the President of the United States for treason. The basis of those charges would be the screw-ups in Benghazi and the release of those five key members of the terrorists from Gitmo. The basis of the reasoning would be Article 3, Section 3 of the United States Constitution.
I understand you're getting this from a lawyer on radio, but the problem is Eric Holder works for Obama, so that's dead in the water to begin with.
Well, it's...
It doesn't mean you're wrong. But, I mean, practically, you know that Eric Holder, who was basically handpicked by him, not to represent the American people, but to protect him from the American people.
Right.
So how are you going to get Eric Holder to do anything when Eric Holder is a front man for the same machine that runs America? Thank you very much. So that won't work. WABC, Coco, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Savage. I'm a registered Republican. I voted for everybody but Obama in the last two elections. I understand he's a different kind of president. It's pretty obvious, but I don't understand why he needs to be impeached. With Nixon and with Clinton, it was pretty obvious why they needed to be at least polled to be impeached, but you've never exactly explained why Obama needs to be impeached explicitly. I mean, golf?
No, not golf. No, not golf. Shall we go back to the beginning?
Sure.
Should we go back to the beginning? Okay. One New Year's Eve, while all of us were partying, he passed a law which permits any American to be arrested without any habeas corpus. That unto itself was an impeachable offense. It was called the NDAA. The National Defense Authorization Act permits him to arrest you without charges. Do you know that?
But didn't he have to get help?
No, listen to me. Yeah, he has a bunch of stooge judges who will do what he wants, but they can arrest any American without cause, in the middle of the night. That's the NDAA. That's while you were sleeping. That was passed. So people forgot that. Now, the next scandal that I think is impeachable is using the IRS as a weapon against political opponents. That is not only a no-no, it violates his oath of office, violates the Constitution. Granting a limited amnesty to illegal aliens when he has no powers to do so is an impeachable offense. And he says he's going to do it. He says he's going to do it. He boasts about the fact that he's going to do it. Now, those are just some of the offenses. There are many others. I mean, is that food for thought, or do you reject them out of hand?
What I'm saying is that I never voted for him. I'm a Republican. What I'm saying is that you have not stated a reason for him to be impeached. No one has stated one.
Well, you see, I just gave you three reasons, and you're going back to the talking points that you were given this morning by your local ward champion. You see, you were told to call shows, say you're a Republican, and then ask why should he be impeached, because they're worried about it. I gave you three reasons, and you went back to your talking points.
No.
You didn't react to any one of the three reasons I gave you. I said you didn't react to any of the three reasons I gave you.
Call Mexican kids out of their homes to America. He has no power. He's not God.
Excuse me? He orchestrated the whole thing.
You said he's responsible for those Mexican
kids. Ma'am, he orchestrated the whole thing. We have the evidence. I have given it on the Savage Nation. We have it from last January. The United States government, meaning Barack Obama and his minions, put out a request for proposals for people to transport, to clothe and feed up to 100,000 children from Central America. They were planning this since last January. It's a giant conspiracy. These kids didn't just come here out of the blue. He invited them here.
How so? How did he invite them? Send the invitations to the shack?
You see, again, you're not answering. Are you that ignorant? If I just told you that the government put out requests for proposals for private contractors to provide transportation, food, and clothing for illegal aliens, what does that tell you?
There's a document for this.
Where is the document for this?
Yeah.
It's widely available on the Internet, and I can provide it for you on michaelsavage.com, which I've done so for over a month.
You should do
that. It's from the government. The government put out the document. They've been planning this since at least January because they're owned lock, stock, and barrel by La Raza. You can't be in favor of taking in $2 billion of the world's poor, can you?
I'm not in favor of it. What I'm saying is that he's not responsible for people feeling so desperate enough to come to America.
You're not hearing me again. He invited them in. Do you think these children could get through Mexico without the complicity of the Mexican government? Do you have any idea what it is to cross Mexico? I have an El Salvadoran friend who told me what Mexicans do to people from El Salvador. They beat them, they rob them, they rape them, and then they extort them. These children are coming in here because there was a plan between the Obama administration and the Mexican government to give them safe passage. That's how all of these children are getting here.
Evidence.
Well, you're asking me to provide evidence. That's what impeachment would produce. I'm giving you a sketch of what was done. It would take an impeachment hearing to expose the evidence.
To be impeached.
So thank you very much for asking. You've done a very good job for your masters. They told you to call and say, I'm a registered Republican, and I voted for a Republican, but I'm against. Can you tell me what he's done to be impeached? They're frightened. If they're getting women like her to call shows like mine to ask those questions, it means they're running scared, very scared indeed. Drink very carefully, my friends, because they're running very, very scared indeed. And I think their most vulnerable issue is immigration. I think that's the one that you can nail them on. Come November or December, the man will be impeached for this if he does this. Now, you shouldn't do impeachment before the election. This is like a war, and you have to know when to wage your battle. The impeachment battle must be waged after Harry Reid becomes a greeter at the Bellagio. When Harry Reid is sent to the Bellagio to say, I was once a senator, come right in, you have better odds here than you did with me when I was a senator, that will be the time to bring impeachment against him. I don't think the average person even understands what high crimes and misdemeanors means. But I have the evidence. The evidence exists. Can I pull it out right now like a rabbit out of a hat? No, but I will find it for you. Maybe I should put it up on the website. Neil, why don't you tell Art to find that paperwork that everyone in the media who is knowledgeable has been reading for months now, where they planned this since January with a request for proposals for transportation, housing, medication, to provide medical services, legal services for illegals. They say up to 100,000 young people from Central America. The government has been plotting this. Now, you say, well, where's the evidence? And if you found the evidence, then what would you say? I fabricated it? That would be the next thing, that I made it up? It's a government document. 855-400-7282. Let's go to Leslie in North Carolina on the Savage Nation. Leslie, what's on your mind?
Hi. I'm so grateful you took my call. I want to change the subject just a little bit. I was okay, but I listened to other people too. But what I really wanted to say, this father of the Hamas, his son was being interviewed, his oldest son.
I heard it. So what's the big deal?
You did hear it. Okay, the other point was this. We just got back from fighting the terrorists over there, right? The Taliban. Well, I don't care what name you put on it. A terrorist is a terrorist is a terrorist.
And? So what's your point? So who's the terrorist? All right, she dropped it. So she was sent to call me by the other guy. I get it. He's that desperate for ratings that he's having his stooges call my show and talk about his guests. Unbelievable desperation. The day he has an entity. Okay, forget about it. NSA spying is an impeachable offense. Shall I give you another one? I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It's tough to be in talk radio today without taking a real opinion. I mean, if you want to sit on the fence, then you may as well join the Republican Party. The fact of the matter is the world is on fire because of the incompetent academic Marxist administration that is running the country. To make matters worse, Barack Hussein Doofus Obama gave a speech ratcheting up the Cold War with Russia, calling for increased financial sanctions against Russia because Russia will not accept the sovereignty of Ukraine. Now, we have a president who has destroyed the sovereignty of America, who is obsessed with the sovereignty of Ukraine. Can you figure that one out? I can. I read the Financial Times, and they said the West risks collateral damage by punishing Russia. Did you hear this? In terms of how Obama's sanctions will affect the West more broadly, Francesco Papadia, formerly at the European Central Bank, has estimated in a recent article that the impact on the EU will be about two-thirds higher than on the U.S. In other words, the sanctions that Barack Hussein Odufis has just imposed upon Russia, Odufis has just imposed sanctions on Russia, which will now affect the EU and the United States. Of course it will affect Russia. It will affect Russia, but the EU and the U.S. will suffer as well, according to the Financial Times. You understand that? Well, you may understand it, but the academics who are running America can't understand it because they've never, ever produced a service or a product that anyone needs. They've been lifers inside pension systems, like our president, like our governors, like our legislators. They have no idea what the real world is, and the world goes on. Here are the headlines on some of the papers. I don't know if you knew this. A rare lightning struck Venice Beach. I was on the beach. Strangely enough, God just missed me on that one. I wanted to go to Venice, but I didn't. I went south. And he threw a lightning bolt that struck a number of people and killed a 20-year-old man. I was on the pier at Manhattan Beach when the lightning struck. I don't know whether God was looking to hit me or what, but very unusual in Los Angeles. Lightning strikes killed a 20-year-old man. It's unbelievable. Israel-Hamas both ignore truces, says the L.A. Times. New York Times, even Gava truce is hard to win, Kerry is finding. Fear of Ebola breeds a terror of physicians. Now, this is an interesting story on the fear of Ebola, because the Africans themselves, the uneducated Africans themselves, have banned doctors from their villages. They're smarter than the doctors themselves. You know the left-wing fanatics, the Doctors Without Borders? It turns out that they were spreading the disease themselves. So this is interesting coming out of Guinea. So eight youths, some armed with slingshots and machetes, stood warily alongside a rutted dirt road in an opening in the high reeds, the path to the village of Kolo Bangu. The deadly Ebola virus is believed to have infected several people in the village. Now listen to this. And the youths were blocking the path to prevent health workers from entering. "We don't want any visitors," said their leader, a 17-year-old. Of the youth league. "We don't want any contact with anyone." The others nodded in agreement and fiddled with their slingshots and machetes. Why are they doing that? Singling out the international group, Doctors Without Borders, the Africans said, "Wherever those people have passed, the communities have been hit by illness." Health workers here say they are now battling two enemies, the unprecedented Ebola outbreak, which has killed more than 660 people in four countries, and fear. So here we go. Gaza war rages as truces collapse. Lame duck time comes early for Obama. They're so wrong on that, it couldn't be more comedic. Imagine that. Lame duck time comes early for Obama. They're trying to set you up to make you think he's powerless. This is how devious these militant journalists are. Speaking of militant journalism, the New York Post has become upskirt journalism by what I see. Under Murdoch, I mean, I got nothing to lose. I'm banned from all of his outlets. I may as well tell you what I think of him, as I've been doing for about 10 years anyway. The New York Post, which used to be a conservative newspaper, before it was given to one of his children to run, has become 90% upskirt journalism.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
That's the thing about radio. You can't do it on... Well, they tape them. If I was in television, I have to wear like a bib between sets. I'm a splatterer. I have such gusto left in my soul. You put a meal around me, it's all over me. The floor, you need an... It's like an abattoir when I get through eating. The dogs run, the cats run near me. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So that's what I'm doing, Dino, mixed in with the impeachment, non-impeachment talk. Why? If the Washington Post is finally listening to me on WMAL, you know something's... You're shaking up the establishment. This is what I love about it, is all of the leftists claim that they're anti-establishment when they are running the country and ruining it. Don't you just love it? They're still acting like they're way out, far out. Man, we'll bring down the establishment. Yeah, well, we'll take over. Well, they took over. They've ruined everything. The whole world's on fire. The borders are broken. The nation's bleeding. The economy sucks, except in high-end residential areas. But they're happy with what they're doing. So people are screaming they want to impeach the guy. And I'm saying, okay, well, who started this talk? So I go to the Washington Post, and it's Michael Savage. Usually first on everything. First on borders, language, and culture. First to talk about immigrants and epidemics. First to kill the Dubai ports deal. You name it, I was there first. And it's important you know it, that's all. And it's important you know why you're listening to me. I have to reward you. I have to reward your intelligence. Now, you got the government jesters out there, Maher, Stewart, and Colbert. Terrible ratings, but they're rewarded handsomely because they're doing the jesting that the government needs done. So government jesters support the government positions with stooge audience, with laugh tracks. It's like Laugh-a-thon. It's like Rowan and Martin. We used to have Rowan and Martin, that way Maher, Stewart, and Colbert. And it's aimed mainly at the junkies, the younger junkie crowd, the marijuana addicts, the people who are eventually going to be in rehab because they can't make a living. So you have to understand, I have to give you some entertainment to go along with the politics. So I'm showing you that they say in the Washington Post that impeachment talk is back, and here's who started it, Michael Savage. It's up on my website. So here's what I want to talk about, impeachment, and I'll tell you why. Hysterics in the media are all talking about impeachment, like they discovered it. They discovered the wheel, and now they're talking about the wheel. They discovered... that some immigrants have diseases. So now there are geniuses who dropped out of high school who are talking about illnesses coming in with immigrants. People who didn't know what Ebola was from Shinola are now experts on epidemiology. But yours truly has been talking about immigrants and epidemics for at least 30 years, long before you knew me on the radio, because I'm educated in the field and I try to warn America even back then. But nevertheless, I want to talk about impeachment today for one reason. I got up this morning and I saw that the venerable Washington Post put out a headline called Impeachment Talk is Back. Here's a timeline of how we got here again. And they begin in 2009. It says the early birds. I want you to take a guess who was the first one to kick off the ball of impeachment. That's right, Michael Savage. 2009, March, radio host Michael Savage suggested the time has come, less than 50 days after Obama took office, for the president to be impeached. And then, of course, the fringe followers followed from there on. All of the fringers who follow Michael Savage and make believe he doesn't exist then picked up the impeachment talk, where now it's reaching a crescendo. And although I have been for it until I'm against it, I'll tell you why I'm slightly against it, even though I was for it then. Because, you see, I'm a man who's willing to admit that some strategies are good at a certain time and not good at others. In other words, we're seeing that the demon cats who have no ideas and are out of steam are using impeachment to raise money. It may actually be a bad idea. So I'm going to ask you the question, is impeachment a good idea right now or a bad idea? Now, you know he should have been impeached. The man never should have been elected. We know he's an imposter. We don't have to go down the list. We know what he's done. Do I have to give you the litany? No. He's done at least seven things that are impeachable. Seven. Minimum seven things that are impeachable. He's about to do the greatest one, which is grant amnesty to the illegal aliens, which will put him into the category of the worst villain in American presidential history. But it still may be a failing strategy. In other words, if you're fighting a war, you have to choose your battles. And you've got to know whether to fight at El Alamein or at another pass in the desert. This may be the wrong battle at the wrong time. So you have to think about the overall war plan, not just the particular battle. You've got to be Napoleonic about it rather than, let us say, catastrophic about it. Not a bad line, Michael. Have another vermicelli spring roll. That was pretty good. It must be feeding my brain immediately. So before we go on, aren't you pleased to learn that I am still the lead sled dog in the ideal world of talk radio? Yes, there are shows with slightly larger or larger audiences. But when you are the lead sled dog, the reason the others keep nipping at you and barking at you is because they're always looking at your behind. I mean, they're stuck in the... They're just stuck behind you, looking at you. So naturally, they bark at your behind. And so here we are. We're talking about serious topics, but we're mixing it in with food, recipes, whatever. I could buy a chicken, for example, for a second. I mean, I'm talking about impeachment. I'm talking about a Thai food. You know, it's one of the side benefits, I'm sorry to say it, of the Vietnam War. I know that's kind of a... But think of all the Vietnamese who came in fleeing communism. Look, at least they opened great restaurants, a lot of them. We got a benefit out of it that way. I know you can say, wow, that's a low blow. No, it isn't. Every culture that comes here seems to contribute something except one. One culture brings only hatred and collects welfare. They walk around with such contempt on their faces, you don't understand how they can even survive without dying of, like, an internal tumor of the brain. They walk around with such hate, they never smile. They're waiting for the next world for their reward. Next world for their reward. I say, let them go there now. What do they come here for? If they don't believe this world is any good, what are they coming here for? Let them go to the next world before they go directly to go without passing America. What are they coming here for? The welfare. They all say the next world they're going to be in paradise. I say go there now. So I stumbled on a slick magazine called Jewish Journal. And on the cover they have a picture of a young man named Max Steinberg, 1989 to 2014. And it's a eulogy for a young Angelino of Jewish faith, who had the guts to go over to Israel, join the IDF, become a paratrooper, and he's so good he wound up in the Golani Brigade, and he got killed. So you say, all right, well, I was shocked for a Jewish journal to even show someone with a machine gun. Actually, that was shocking, because these are people who generally balk at a backfire. The liberal in America, if they hear a car backfire, they call 911 and take a Valium. So I was shocked that the front cover is that of a kid, young man, dead, with a machine gun and a uniform. So I open it up, and I said, oh, that's interesting. That's new for L.A. Huh, must be a conservative Jewish magazine. Lo and behold, I open it up, and 3 pages later, they're supporting the flood of illegals into the country. Three pages later, they support Israel's sovereignty, and they hate this country's sovereignty. Can anyone explain that to me? Why is it that liberals, particularly Jewish liberals, support the sovereignty of Israel and don't support the sovereignty of America? Can anyone explain that to me? Is that too difficult a question for someone to answer this? Here's the article. Serena Oberstein, Children at the Border. Serena Oberstein is the regional director at Bend the Arc, a Jewish partnership for justice. Now, once you hear the word justice, you know what that means, communism. Whenever you hear the word justice, it means communist leftist fanatic from hell. And formerly served as a Southwest Regional Director for J Street. J Street is the pacifist branch of Judaism. So these are the people who, they see the children coming over the border, and their immediate knee-jerk liberal response is, they're like the children in the Holocaust. And they're in favor of bringing them all into America and giving them, homes and whatever. They have no concept of what it costs, what it's going to do to the sovereignty of the nation. And again, they're comparing it to the exclusion of Asian immigrants in the 19th century. Again, the Holocaust comes up. Every time it's the Holocaust. Again, it's the Jews on the St. Louis turned away. Again, the concentration camps. Again, it has nothing to do with reality. See, liberalism is a mental disorder. There's no other way to answer it. I have no other way to answer it. Whenever you have a story like this, the answer is simple. Liberalism is a mental disorder. That's the only answer. So the same magazine, the Jewish Journal, that supports the sovereignty of Israel, singing, has no support for the United States of America's borders, language, and culture, none whatsoever. I don't know how to answer it to you other than liberalism is a mental disorder. Now you understand why I have no friends in Los Angeles. Now you understand why I have almost no friends in San Francisco. Now you understand why I am a man who does truly follow not only a different drummer, but I am the drummer, and a whole nation follows me on the radio. It's good enough for me. And so there's Jerry Brown going off to Mexico on a boondoggle. And what you don't know about the great savior, Jerry Brown, is that he charged lobbyists $5,000 apiece to go with him to see if they can cash in on the flood of illegals coming into California and America. Here, I found it in the L.A. Times. Brown's retinue on trip includes lobbyists. Business leaders and advocates pay to join Governor Brown on his visit to Mexico. Price $5,000 to travel with the gov. And the crew of those traveling with Governor Brown includes solar company executives exploring Mexico's energy industry, farmers seeking new markets for their products, and some of Sacramento's most influential advocates, like former lawmakers Rusty Arias and Fabian Nunez. Why is that? What are they going there for? What do they want down there? I don't know what they want. Obviously, they want more illegal aliens to make certain that the Democrat socialist machine is forever. You know what I'm saying? Here's some other news stories that I have found. Governor Rick Perry doesn't want Texas to pay for troops he's ordering to the border. Texas Governor Rick Perry made a decision last week to bypass the federal government order 1,000 National Guard troops to help secure the state's border to Mexico, but we'd rather not come out of the Texas budget. It is a crime, what they're doing, and we do need the National Guard. But the federal government is being asked to pay for his deployment of 1,000 troops, which will cost $12 million a month. How do you like that? Things cost money. How do you like that? You wouldn't think. Definitely a true story there. Obama thanks Muslims for building the very fabric of our nation. You heard that one, didn't you? In his speech for a Muslim holiday. He said that, let's see. Here it goes. He says, EID reminds us of the many achievements and contributions of Muslim Americans to building the very fabric of our nation and strengthening the core of our democracy. He didn't mention Christianity once. He didn't mention that there's a Holocaust against Christians going on by Muslims in the Middle East. He didn't mention that there's genocide going on against Christians in the Middle East. Instead, he talked about the wonders of Islam. How do you like that? You wouldn't have known that George Washington had a prayer rug in the White House. I didn't know that. I missed that in history. I really didn't know that they had prayer rugs in the White House. I didn't know Ben Franklin, with the kite and the key and the electricity, was praying to Mecca all along and got his inspiration from Allah. I would have thought that they were devout Christians, but I guess I didn't read the right history books, the history books that Obama read in Chicago. Talk radio is ultimately talk radio. You can't write a letter to an editor anymore and have it published. You know that. You've known it for 40 years. It's all left-wing gibberish. How often have you gotten a letter published? Remember years ago I'd send letters to the editor of the New York Times, and if I got published, which was occasional, I would think it was such a big deal. How many people read it? It didn't matter. Whereas if you get on to this Savage Nation show, you will reach more people than you've met in your entire life. Think about that. I mean, it's pretty amazing what radio is, the power of it. And considering the power of the stations I'm on, from San Francisco KSFO, New York WABC, MAL in Washington, LS in Chicago, BAP in Dallas, go up and down the line. I mean, I have the biggest stations in the country in drive time on the East Coast. So you benefit from that. It doesn't mean you have to agree with me, but there's no canned laughter. This is not a taped program. I'm live to you. And the fact of the matter is you can be live to America. You can give your editorial. That's the value of talk radio, the last vestige of, frankly, the last vestige of freedom in the country. It's not staged. It's not scripted. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
It's not just about having a heart. It's about having a soul. And the soul of our country is about respecting the dignity and worth of every person. Soul of our country is about giving every person access to rights who is in our country. We cannot have deportation without representation.
The demon cats seem to be operating on the plan of unnatural selection. When you listen to Pelosi, who says that we cannot have deportation without representation, here's a woman who imposed Obamacare on the nation without representation. We could have taxation without representation, but we can't have deportation of non-citizens without representation. This is called everything is upside down. But look, if I get angry, you're not going to listen. If I tell you that when Hillary justified Hamas firing rockets from Gaza because it's a small country, they have to put the rockets, the rocket launchers inside schools, you would say, what? What? How could she say that? If I tell you that the charter of Hamas calls for the destruction of Israel and the killing of all Jews, you'll say, wait a minute, aren't they a cousin organization to the Muslim Brotherhood that Obama and John McCain tried to maintain control of Egypt? Yes. And that's why I say, you know what, living well is the best revenge. So here we come to the end of hour number three on the Savage Nation for the 30th of July, 2014. Half the summer's over, would you believe it? And the Washington Post says impeachment talk is back. Well, guess what? They gave a timeline of how impeachment began, and guess who was the first in the media to suggest it? 2009, it says, March 2009, radio host Michael Savage suggests that the time has come, less than 50 days after Obama took office, for the president to be impeached. Can you believe this? Now, there are many followers who don't admit that they're followers of mine. The ones who scream loudest about impeachment are those who follow the farthest behind. Those of us at the front of the pack need not scream anymore. We just lead. As they say, the lead sled dog has the others nipping at his heels because all they see is his behind. Well, that's the truth with Michael Savage on this and many other issues. I love that I've been leading on immigrants and epidemics for 30 years, and all of a sudden, people who never went to high school are experts on epidemiology. They don't know Ebola from Shinola, and yet they're experts on virology today. I love it. But anyway, hey, look, as Lao Tzu said, it doesn't matter who gets credit for what you say as long as what you say is credited in terms of the mind of the people understanding it. So, yeah, that's it. That's the whole story. Just know who the lead dog is in talk radio. Not necessarily the largest audience, but necessarily the smartest audience. You, the listener of the Savage Nation.
Savage.